This is Radio 3. It's 11 o'clock. Time now for World on 3 with Mary-Anne Kennedy.
Thanks very much, Ian, and welcome. The excitement building as we wait with bated breath for Simon Broughton from Songlines magazine to join us tonight for the announcement of their awards for 2015. So something to reflect the mood to get things going, I think. Sky's ultimate festival groovers, the Peat Bog Fairies, and the opening track from their brand new album, Black House.
We'll be right back.
That blast of an opening track is called Is This Your Son? Something of a passing comment, I think, on the effect that the trad music lifestyle, the new rock and roll, can have on your fellow band members. Peter Morrison and the Peatbog Fairies crew, joined by their new fiddler, Ross Cooper from Shetland, and that was from their new album, Black House, named for the iconic little single-storey stone-built houses that were the vernacular all over the Highlands and Islands, although those that survive are usually whitewashed these days. Welcome to World on Three. I'm Marianne Kennedy, and I have double joy on the guest front tonight. As I said, we have Songlines magazine editor Simon Broughton coming in shortly to announce the winners of this year's Songlines Awards. But more than that, we have some glorious live music to come in the shape of Senegal's Sekou Keita, with multiple choras and songs from his new album, 22 Strings. Sekou will, of course, be bringing his heritage track, something special from his own musical world, and our BBC introducing track also has a Senegalese connection. And with Nepal very much on people's minds, our archive track tonight comes from the Kathmandu Valley. But let's carry on with the new releases first, and a band that was very much one of the highlights of our Celtic Connections residency at the beginning of the year, bringing some much needed fire and heat to a very wintry Glasgow. Thank goodness we had cameras for the radio that night so they could see the dancing as well. Canzoniere Gricanico Salentino come from the very heel of Italy, from the land of Tarantella, of pizzica, and as their name suggests, the southern Italian Grico language that connects across the Mediterranean to previous Greek influences. This comes from their brand new album, 40, celebrating 40 years since leader Mauro Durante's father, Daniel, originally founded the band. And as you'll hear, the energy still hasn't let up.
Bye.
Conjuring up images of a long-ago caliphate palace. That was Samal Hijaz from Iraqi oud master Ahmed Mukhtar and his new release on ARC. It's called Babylonian Fingers, a tribute to Iraqi traditions and music from ancient times to the present day. Before that, the album version of Tieneme Tata from Canzoniere Grecanico Salentino. And you can still catch their fabulous live version of that song on the BBC's Celtic Connections website. The great celebration of an opening night at that festival this year was, of course, the orchestral realisation of Scottish musician and producer Martin Bennett's Grit album, his final recording before an untimely passing. The original album featured samples of several iconic folk voices, from traveller Sheila Stewart to the gravel-voiced Michael Marra. The spirit of each of these was inhabited and represented by a singer from a younger generation on the stage that opening night. Amongst them, Glasgow singer Fiona Hunter of the influential Scots band Malinky. They're back this summer with a new album produced by Donald Shaw, and it's called Far Better Days. As ever, paying their respects to the sources and source singers without being tied down by that acknowledgement of their roots. Here they are with a song from the Covenanters' Wars, a bloody division between Scots Presbyterians and the Stuart Kings from the 1600s. James Ogilvy was the Earl of Airlie in the Perthshire Angus borderlands and a fervent royalist. Archibald Campbell, the Earl of Argyll, was on the opposite side. And this, the somewhat poetic account of the set to between the great houses and the downfall of one.
It fell on a day, on a bonny summer day, when the corn was ripe and jelly, that there fell out the great dispute between Argyll and Airlie. Argyll, he has mustered 1,000 of his men, he's matched the new Utrecht Airlie. He's matched the men by the back of Dunkel to plunder the bonny house so early. Lady O, Ogilvy has looked fae her windy sae high, and though but she grad sairly to see Argyle, and all his men come to plunder the bonny house so early. Swear by the halt o' my great braid sword that I wanna leave a standing stain in early. Although come down ye falls again, nor will I kiss thee fairly. I wouldna kiss the falls again, though ye wouldna leave a standing stain in early. Come tell me what your dowry is had, come down and tell me fairly. I wanna tell you what my dowry is had, though you shouldna leave a standing stain in early.
Castle, 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 castle
started to ring, oh, and true love, it is the thing, oh, love on any other day is never quite the same as on the 1st of May. Hail, hail, the 1st of May, for it is the first summer's day. Oh, cast your cares and fears away into the old us on the 1st of May.
Never let it come to pass that we should fail to raise a glass unto those now gone away and left us the obvious that brings the May.
Hail, hail, the 1st of May, oh, for it is the first summer's day. Oh, cast your cares and fears away into the old us on the 1st of May.
Winter time has gone and passed, oh, summer time has come at last. Oh, we shall sing and dance the day and follow the obvious that brings the May.
Hail, hail, the 1st of May, for it is the first summer's day. Oh, cast your cares and fears away into the old us on the 1st of May.
Well, I hope you all went out in the early May morning this morning to bathe in the dew. I can actually say that I really did. And you can check out the Twitter feed with the World on 3 hashtag if you don't believe me. And I've been saving that particular song for weeks now. But when else really could we have played it? Hail, hail, the 1st of May from English folk singer Jackie Oates and her brand new album, The Spyglass and the Herringbone. Jackie's playing the Sage Gateshead's Fiddles on Fire this weekend before heading out on an extensive English tour, and that Fiddle Festival lineup, by the way, is mighty. Fesson, Frigg, Eliza Carthy, Katrina McCann, Chris Stout, and the Celtic Fiddle Festival all in that lineup. Definitely worth checking out if you're in that neck of the woods. You're listening to Marianne Kennedy and World on 3, and we have a focus on Senegal tonight, both with our BBC introducing track still to come, and right now with our live studio session, which tonight is in the company of the wonderful kora player Sekou Keita, whose brand new album, 22 Strings, reflects a very personal journey through his own family history as well as his music. And he's going to start out with a tribute to his grandfather, Tatono.
Thank you.
absolutely exquisite there. Sekou Keita and Tatono live in session for us here on World on 3. Check out the pictures on our Twitter feed to see both those beautiful instruments that he's brought along to the session. That was one of the songs from Sekou's new solo album, 22 Strings. Tell us, Sekou, the connection between that piece of music and your grandfather.
Well, Tatono, first of all, is a nickname of my grandfather, which I was not allowed to call him, and neither his wife. So it was just his age group and brothers call him Tatono, and I tended to ask my grandma why and what that name came about. I still haven't had the answer yet.
But you live in hope.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm hoping that I'll get the answer some point by releasing, composing this song especially for him.
And he was a man that figured large in your life and in your upbringing from a very young age.
Yes, he did. He's my mentor, his grandfather that I have from early age. Learned a lot from him. He's not an easy man, as I would say, but he made who I am today. Learning how to play the instrument and how to make it as well, and all life through. So my grandfather played a very important role in my through my life. Yeah.
So that was a very strict start out in life. But how young were you when you began to understand that this was for a good reason?
Quite late. I think I was going out of school by age of 20 plus, and I started understanding. But the beginning was really not easy because so many of us in the family. I have like six uncles around and then cousins as well. So always like, is that me or is it everyone? And, you know, that take a while to figure out, really. But then, as I said, he didn't share a lot of his pain as a childhood. And it was hard to understand because if he didn't share that, so it made a lot of confusion on me. And later on, I know and I've forgiven him.
And the big family setup was also a big part of the way you learned your music. It wasn't just a one-to-one sitting down beside one particular teacher or mentor. It was as much a group thing as the family.
Yeah, it's always the way that it works. Your teacher could be, my grandfather, and then I could be learning sort of things with my uncles around. So you could pass around because it's so many of us grouped together. You get to learn a lot of styles as well and different style of playing, and which is very important. But in the Griot family, where my father was, Telekimo Sisoko, is a Griot family. And always in the Griot family, learning the kora is not just like one person. You got everybody around you, and then usually will tell you off to get it better.
And then the generations and generations and generations behind you.
Yeah.
And everyone in the next generation behind you getting on at you.
Exactly.
Now, you've brought two fabulous instruments into the studio. If people check out the Twitter feed, they'll be able to see. You've got a double neck.
A double neck, yeah.
Kora and a single one.
Single
I think
neck.
One has 21 strings and the double one has...
Actually, they both have 22 strings.
They're both 22.
Three, yeah.
Tell us the significance of the 22 strings name of the album.
Well,
then.
Originally, the Kora story, there's a lot of version of it. And what's really clear with all the griots, the argument that the kora was known and well brought on with 22 strings. That's the origin of the strings, the name of the strings. And as I say, coming from the power, the spirit of the Sahara to humankind, and the first ever kora player was called Jalimadi Wuleng. Jalimadi, the red. Wuleng mean red in Mandinka. And Jalimadi was the one that received the 22 strings. And when he passed away, his fellow musician griots just take one string out for his memory, and since then the kora remained 21 strings. So knowing the 22 strings is not that famous because it's really early time, and all the places like in Mali and Guinea, all the places in Conakry playing the 21 strings, but the southern part of Senegal, where I come from, the Casamance and Guinea-Bissau, remain the 22 strings is still very strongly going there and playing. And I always play 22 strings.
And you're going to play them again just now. Is it going to be the double that you were playing just now, or are you going
I'm
to
gonna
shift
I'm going to go for
over?
A single one.
And what are you going to play next?
I'm going to play a song called Michi Nata Mutoma, which is Susu language, mean the invisible man.
And I'm going to talk to you about that a little later on, because there is a very special story behind that. We're representing, I suppose, both sides of Seku Keita's family with these first two tracks here. And just as you can hear from the the beautifully silent chairs just shifting from one kora to the other there. As ever with delicate string instruments like that, a little bit of tuning, but I think we're pretty much good to go.
Close enough. Thank you.
Many thanks to Seku Keita, and more to come from himself later here on World on 3, where you're listening to Marianne Kennedy. Tracks still to come from our BBC introducing artists, Scots-based Senegalese musician Samba Sen, and our World Music Archive keeps the attention on Nepal. And remember as well that you can download the whole of tonight's session. It will be available to download as a podcast for you to enjoy all over again whenever you fancy. But right now, it is time for the big reveal. The announcement of this year's 2015 Songlines Magazine Music Awards. And I'm joined by the magazine's editor, Simon Broughton, who is ready to tell all.
Good
Simon.
It's only the awards that I'm revealing, I hasten to add.
Yes. Well, there are too many cameras in here to do anything else. So only four awards in your selection.
Indeed.
Group, band, newcomer and collaboration. What's the thinking behind that?
Well, frankly, I always get rather tired of award ceremonies that go on with lots and lots of categories. And in a way, keep it simple, you know, artist, group. We were very keen, as the BBC Awards had, in this idea of cross-cultural collaboration. And of course, I think newcomer is really important because it's partly what Songlines is about, is finding new names, new artists. And of course, it's the new generations who are really important in all of this.
And you get to say you spotted them first.
Yeah, and sometimes we spot them and then they totally disappear. But no, that's, you know, often we do champion people, and I'm very happy to say, yes, they on they go.
So there's a sort of public vote and then a shortlist, and it's partly to do with the live, but there's always an album associated with the
qualification
artist.
For getting into the awards is having an album out in the previous 12 months. So all the contenders had an album last year. And so then it's a public vote, and then there's a select Songlines panel that makes the choice from the four nominees to the finalist.
Okay, well, I don't envy you, but I am going to cut to the chase now. So let's get into the first one. This is a newcomer award, and there was a shortlist of from Kurdish Southern Turkey, Olcay Bayer, The Gloaming from Ireland, Nusa from Cape Verde, and Ibibio Sound Machine. So of that shortlist, who is the winner?
We gave the award to Ibibio Sound Machine, who are a London-based band, but with a strong Nigerian ingredient. In fact, Ibibio, I didn't know, is a Nigerian language from southeast Nigeria. The singer is Eno Williams. And what I love about this band is they reflect the lively scene that we have in London. And I absolutely think that London is now probably the world music capital of the world. It's got now a much more vibrant scene than I would say Paris has, which was always the big contender. But
we have Seko in here still, and he's nodding enthusiastically here, totally in agreement.
Yes, and Senegal being a former French colony, you should be in Paris, of course, but you're in London.
And
very, very pleased we are that you're here too.
Well, let's hear one of these manifestations of London at the heart of everything. Thank you. Congratulations to Ibibio Sound Machine, who are the winners of this year's Newcomer Award in the Songlines Award for 2015. Now let's move on. Let's waste no time, Simon, because people want to know. We're moving on to the hardest one to pronounce, always, the cross-cultural collaboration. Wait till you get to the title
of the track.
So we have a short list of Robert Plant, the Kronos Quartet, Baka Beyond, another connection with Sekou there, and Salsa Celtica. A really broad selection, a really difficult choice.
Yeah,
that's apples and bananas, is it not?
And I guess it always is a little bit with this category, but then awards always are apples and bananas and kiwi fruit and mangoes. so we've gone for Kronos Quartet. I just think I've been such an admirer of them for so many years. In fact, last year was their 40th anniversary, and just for so long they've been exploring the world and its sounds, and commissioning composers from all around the world, or arranging pieces from all over the globe. And the album they produced last year, called A Thousand Thoughts, included some old tracks, one with Asher Bosley, another with Astor Piazzolla, the late Astor Piazzolla, Zaki Hussein, but most of them are new arrangements and new pieces. And they go from China and Vietnam to early Greek rebetika to American blues. Extraordinary. Syrian.
And sit there happily.
And it sounds like it could be a real mess, but it all hangs together. And each one is a sound world that they create. And so the one I felt we should play is based on music by a Vietnamese, wonderful Vietnamese moon guitarist called Kim Sing. And the title of the track, I can't actually remember what it means, is called Lu Tu Chong, or something like that. And it's from their album, A Thousand Thoughts. Thank you.
quite a spectacular sound. So, I mean, if you were to hear it without any information around it, you'd never say that that was
a string quartet,
a classical string quartet. They seem to find some way of being able to, as I was saying while the music was playing, inhabiting each world that they're exploring.
There's all sorts of percussive stuff going on there. I think they use chopsticks. I think the viola player's using chopsticks to play. And there's also actually with them Vanessa Vo, who's a Vietnamese zither player. So it's just a glorious texture, I think, they create out of that track.
So let's move on to the best group. And again, a really varied shortlist here with Bellowhead and Show of Hands on the English folk scene, but also Sean Dorgo, wonderful string band, and Tumani and Siddiqui Djibati. I wouldn't like to make that choice.
Well, it's Tumani and Siddiqui, who you mentioned at the end there. Tumani and Siddiqui Djibati from Mali. Father and son, both kora players. I mean, Tumani Djibati is, you know, probably the most celebrated kora player in the world. Despite our guest here in the studio, Sekou Keita. And in a way, what we wanted to show with the award was really respecting those traditions that go back generations. I mean, Tumani claims that the musical lineage in his family goes back 71 generations. I don't quite know how you verify that. Maybe Sekou can tell us. But it's this idea of just passing traditions on. And of course, with this album, Tumani's playing with his son, who's named after his grandfather, so it's very much about
it's as Sekou was saying, it's the generations that are directly around you and everything that's behind you as well.
Absolutely, and they play really interesting some sort of rare and forgotten tracks. So the esteemed Lucy Duran tells me some of them are rarely played now, and others, like the one that we're going to play, is quite a well known track, in fact. But there's this lovely sort of blending together of generations, and of course the kora is a gorgeous instrument, as we know from our friend Sekou as well.
Tumani and Siddiqui Diabati there, and a beautiful interplay going on there.
Of course, you can't tell who's doing what in that. And it reminds me, last year, one of our winners was Catherine Finch and Sekou Keita, the harp and kora album, that wonderful fusion. Again, similarly, you couldn't really tell who was doing what when it was the harp, when it was the kora, and very similar quality in that album too, in the Tumani and Siddiqui.
And that is what makes them the best group, which brings us on to the final one of the four awards for this year, and that is Best Artist. And once again, huge variety, actually, within the four. You have the Portuguese fadista Ricardo Ribeiro, from the English folk scene, Seth Lakeman, Gaelic singer Julie Fowlis, and one of the all-time greats, Tony Allen. How do you make a choice between four so different individual artists, then?
Of course, you can't make a sensible choice. We've made... Well, actually, I think it is a sensible choice, but you know, any one of these artists could have won. We went for Tony Allen, partly because also as a sort of lifetime achievement award, really, because he's been such a formidable force in African music. I would say, particularly, of course, Afrobeat. He's credited by Fela Kuti with the invention, really, of Afrobeat. They worked together for years. And he's gone on with his own career. And I think what really convinced me that Tony Allen was the man was that, you know, while this has been going on, there've been all these stories of, you know, the migrations from North Africa, from Libya, the tragic loss of life in the Mediterranean. And there's actually two songs on this album about that problem. And I think it's really important that African artists are addressing this and talking about it. And it's not just Europe throwing up their hands trying to work out what to do about it and not accepting immigrants or whatever. So, the words of this song, which is called Boat Journey, say, don't take a boat journey, my brother. Don't take a boat journey, my sister, you know. Even if you're running away from misery, you know, you'll end up with more misery. So it's a sadly a very, very topical song, but I think a very important message. And that's what people like Fela Kuti and now Tony Allen are doing, is they're putting very important messages across. So this is Boat Journey from Film of Life.
Running away from misery, running away from misery, running away from misery, and you can't find yourself in a double misery. You don't decide to leave your misery behind from the bad situation in your country. You decide to leave misery behind from the bad situation in your country. Now you jump into the boat. Now you jump into the boat to cross the ocean with all your family. Looking for better situation across the ocean, but you never arrive.
Don't take the boat journey, my brothers. Don't take the boat journey, my sisters. Don't take the boat journey, my brothers. Don't take the boat journey, my sisters.
Positively filmic feel to that track there, Boat Journey, from Tony Allen's album Film of Life, winner of the Best Artist in this year's Songlines Music Magazine Awards. You can find the links to the full list of nominees and winners by heading to the BBC Radio 3 website, and tonight's playlist will direct you onwards to Songlines. Simon Broughton, the editor, thank you so much, as ever, for coming in to share that all with us. People can share even further, I believe.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Marianne. There's also a Songlines Music Awards CD that has all the nominees, all 16 of them on there. So anyway, great pleasure as ever being here. Thank you very much, and looking forward now for more with Sekou Keita.
Absolutely. You're listening to me, Marianne Kennedy, and World on 3, where our session guest tonight is, as Simon said, Senegalese kora player, singer, drummer, all-rounder, as befits his griot heritage, Sekou Keita. But before he plays some more, each week we ask our guests to bring something special to share, a heritage track, music that means something significant in terms of their own background or upbringing, or an inspiration to them as performer. And Sekou, you've picked the Guinean singer Sori Kandia Kouyaté, now easily one of the most spectacular voices I've ever heard of any genre of any generation of music. So having set that up, what is it in particular that makes you bring this in as your heritage track?
Well, I think you said most of it.
Sorry. But I remember when Stearns did the celebration of his music.
Amazing, amazing. I mean, his voice is, remember, as a griot singer, I mean, griot singers have amazing technique, but his technique is very special. And I grew up listening to his voice, you know, over the radios, and he had played my grandfather in the past. And then he always, when you talk about him, you just like talking to God, you know, the way he sung. And
was your grandfather?
My grandfather, talking about him. And I always, this particular song that he sings, which is Suarez Sis, is something that, a song that really I heard from my childhood. I have played a version on my album in 2008, and the Silimbo Passage, but also all my uncles playing a different version and meeting still his sons around Kabine Kuate and Sekou Ba, their voice and trying to get to their dad. Amazing voices, but their dad is just special. The guy is special.
And this is a man who died young,
very young,
but his influence still lives on.
Still. Only just in Guinea, across West Africa, we heard his name. If saying, if you ask today a singer like Yusundur, who inspired you first, will tell you straight away, Sori Kanja Kuyate, because his voice is just remarkable. And my grandfather used to tell me when sometimes they play where they have some plug-in instrument, they plug like chorus and then he will sing without a microphone. His voice just came across the whole room. So it was just like a hero for me.
Well, let's listen to Just Why.
Suarez, Elena.
Suarese by Sorikandia Kuyati from Stern's Music's fantastic retrospective of a Guinean legend who died too young, I think 44, back in 1977, and really should have been an international sensation. It was the heritage track choice of my guest tonight, Sekou Kuyati, currently on tour, or coming up with a tour, with his new album, 22 Strings, which is out on the 26th of May. You can check out all the dates via the links on the Radio 3 website, and Sekou is all set up to carry on with the live music now. And well, we've been through two generations of family, and we'll come down to the next one. This next one is called Little Bro.
Thank you.
Seku Keita playing live for us here on World in 3 in Broadcasting House in London, playing music from his new album, 22 Strings. And that, Seku, was called Little Bro. And as soon as you played the introduction there, I understood. But perhaps you better share the story behind that.
Well, the story, the Little Bro, is a song that I was, it was a time I was not, I was unwell for a couple of months. I was really, you know, was a long story, but cut short, I become really paralyzed. I stay in one place, table, and won't be able to play my kora. And I used to leave my young brother called Suntu, Suso, and we used to call him Suntu Boy, and that name stayed forever. He's the big boy now. And one night he just walked into the house. Before he walked, I was like, from like early evening, I just have this wave, this pattern and melody go into my head. And usually what that happened, I just grab my kora. But because I was not really well, I couldn't touch the kora, and I know I was not fit to play it, and I just how I would get this sorted. And he walked in, and I just asked him quite late, in a favor, to grab the kora and ask him to tune it how I wanted to tune it. And he was following the rules to a point that I started to play him to play a groove and pattern that doesn't stop. And then and he started, and he's really asking a lot, you know, that.
This is too hard.
This is too hard. You're trying to put melody in this pattern without stopping, and it's just too much. You know, I'm not you, you know. They leave me alone. And but, you know, after talking a while, 2 hours after, he got the melody going, groove how I wanted, and I just pick up my phone and record it and left it. Like when I get better, 3-4 months later, and I pick it up soon again and name it after him. I feel a bit ashamed of putting him through.
You're one hard big brother. It's very obvious that family is such an important part of music for, yeah, for everything for you. The piece that you played earlier, though, The Invisible Man, refers to the other side of your family, to your father, who was essentially for you as you were growing up, the Invisible Man.
He was, and that story took me always back, my father's side. I basically haven't seen him. And this particular song was just so, and I had on this album, there's a lot of emotion thing that I thought about, the 22 Strings. I never done an album which is just pure kora and voice. And he set up between two places in Mali, Guinea-Conakry and Senegal. And there's a time that when a child, you just need to see your father and you just know why, what's happening, and get the story. I have a version from my mom, from my grandmother, from my grandfather, and I just wanted to see the real man, you know, talking to me face to face. And I set up to find him. And when I set up to find him in Guinea, Conakry's family, and looking for the family, to get the family, to know the family, you know, the journey I was doing backward and forward, you know, just have something was really like sticking, you know, in my head, which is really, you know, this pattern, melody on this song, looking for him. And I never get a chance, really, to see him. And when I find out where he was, he's really a gentleman, really sport. And he was in Mali helping, really, a family, just, you know, feeling the hardship, helping them out. And then the time that I was ready to meet him, and he was gone. And I always just said, there's no wrong or right on those things. It's just meant to happen. And this is a song tribute to the Invisible Man, as I call him.
And do you feel then that the journey that you made in search was some kind of a resolution, even though you didn't get to meet him in the end?
It was. And otherwise, I won't be, you know, playing this or releasing this song on it. And it, for me, it's like a relief. This is the way it's supposed to be. And I strongly believe on that. And that's why I don't take it as, you know, suit in a way. So.
Now, Simon mentioned just a few minutes ago that wonderful duo album that you brought out with Catherine Finch a couple of years ago, and you're going to be gigging with her in a couple of weeks' time at the Hay Festival. And I suppose that duo collaboration, ironically, has really done so much to set the pair of you out as individual great solo artists in your own right, and you both have your own solo albums going at the moment. What has working with Catherine brought to your own playing, do you think?
Well, I learned a lot. The amazing thing is a similarity that, you know, we both didn't know before, you know, get together. to understand the harp, you know, which is from Wales and the Senegalese kora, which is this amazing thing. But also just learn the technique of the harp as well, the way she played, and I'm sure she had the same thing. And the journey was amazing, and the people behind it, the driving forces, you know, the Teatro Molden, Asta, it was just like something else. And it was really, it's an amazing journey. And then some of the success of it for us, it was a surprise because we were not expecting it, and here we go. So it set us all, you know, individually. And this time around, as you said, we'll be touring in Europe and in and out, England as well. But then hopefully another album, you know, don't know when, but after we went through our solos album, I have this one, the 22 String, that she released her album last month in March, I think. So, and yeah, the future is bright for us.
Well, we should have one more piece of music. What is it going to be this time?
This one, I'm going to play the song called If Only I Knew. It's a dream that my grandfather always tell me. It's his two things in life that are very important, that never die. As a child, I just said, I'm dying. I know that we're all going to go one day, trees, everything. And he said, there's two things that you really need to know. He said, first of all, no matter how knowledge you got, you will meet someone in life that know more than you do. And he said, secondly, no matter how rich you are, it could be anything, you know, goods, money, anything, you will meet one day a person, someone who's richer than you. And he said, these two things, if you know in life, you will live your life differently. And that was a big message from my grandfather. And this is a song called If Only I Knew.
Sekou Keita, thank you so much. A man very obviously comfortable in his own skin there. Thank you so much to Sekou. The new album on ARC is called 22 Strings, and I'll be able to give you a couple of tour dates after we hear just now, If Only I Knew.
Salve, Sekou.
Thanks again to Seka Kuyati. Beautiful. The new album on ARC is called, as I said, 22 Strings. The gigs start out at the Katrin and Seku HQ of Theatre Muldan on the 12th of May. Various stop-offs, including the Wyeside Arts Centre on the 15th, and a duo gig with Katrin Finch at the Hay Festival on May the 29th. And remember that tonight's session can be downloaded as a podcast after the programme is finished. BBC Radio 3 is also going to be at the Hay Festival. In Tune, we'll be live from Hay through that week, and that Friday's World on 3 on the 29th of May. Lopa Kutari will be introducing a special edition of World on 3 with a concert from the previous night by the original Saharan rockers Tinariwen. And as an added bonus, opening the night will be the Welsh Galician band we first met at last year's Womex in Santiago, Mylog. You can join us on air, online, or better still, why not come along for the gig? All the details are on the Radio 3 website alongside our playlist. And here are Tinariwen to put you in the right frame of mind. From their Joshua Tree EP, recorded in the Californian desert while they were working on their most recent album, Emar, The Heat on the Breeze. At night, the band used to jam live in the studio house and outside around a campfire, and the resulting recordings managed to capture something of that intimate feeling.
Do I
Tanariwen with 2IN, and they'll be in concert for World on 3 at the Hay Festival on Thursday the 28th of May. Lopa Katari will be on stage for that. Do be sure to join her if you can. And remember, you can find ticket details via the Radio 3 website if you'd like to join the fray. You're listening to Marianne Kennedy and World on 3, and we'll turn now to BBC Introducing, bringing you new world and roots music from emerging and less well-known acts from all around the UK. Tonight's music is, like our session guest, Sekou Keita, Senegalese in its roots, but based over here now for many years. Samba Sen and his band Diwan have been at the heart of the thriving multicultural Edinburgh music scene since his arrival in Britain some 15 years ago. He was mentored as a young musician by Baba Mal, and the connection continues, as evidenced by a very happy union that I was an observer at a few years ago at Celtic Connections, where Baba was playing a headline gig, and Samba went to see him, and Baba fairly came thundering down the stairs to greet him there. Over the years, Samba has been in about the famous Bongo Club in the centre of Edinburgh, and especially with his own Ndaji African nights of music, dance, food, the whole experience. For his Scottish incarnation of Mbalax and Afrobeat, he's joined by Akin Fatunbi on guitar, Angus Rutherford on bass, Johnny Christie on drums, Stuart Dinwoodie percussion, and Doug Tiplady on tenor sax. And here they are with Camille.
Thank you. Kenana bilu mwilwa linga lukari. Wakenana bilu mwilwa linga lukari.
First up there was Samba Sen and Diwan. You can see them in action tonight at the Kirkofield Church in Edinburgh's Pleasance with that mix of music, dance, food and family-friendly atmosphere for which he's made a name. That was followed by Scottish Zambian singer Namvula. She's in session on World on 3 next week. And do spread the word too on BBC Introducing, the uploader on the Beeb website, the way to get great music to us. This is Mary-Anne Kennedy and World on 3. Thanks to all in the show tonight. Simon Broughton, Seku Keita, Joe Langton and Martin Appleby in the studio, Martin Webb and producer Roger Short. And with the eyes of the world on the devastating impact of the Nepalese earthquake this week, we thought it would be appropriate to visit happier times in the country through Radio 3's online world music archive for tonight's last track. Bharat Nepali was recorded in Kathmandu University Music Department in Bhaktapur, the ancient capital of Nepal in the Kathmandu Valley, known as the country's cultural gem and sadly one of the places badly hit by the earthquake. Good night. Thank you. Bharat Nepali, recorded in Nepal's ancient capital of Bhaktapur, the country's cultural gem. On 90 to 93 FM, online and on digital radio, this is BBC Radio 3. It's 1 o'clock.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Through the Night. I'm Katriona Young in the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg to start with, along with the country's Philharmonic Orchestra under Emmanuel Krivin. They were in action in October last year in their own spectacular concert hall, the Luxembourg Philharmonie, and we're going to hear two of the works they played. One was by Alexander Zemlinsky, the lyric symphony he wrote in the early 1920s, and from almost exactly a century earlier, the Symphony No. 5 by Schubert, heavily under the influence at the time of the man he called the immortal Mozart. What countless impressions, he said, of a brighter, better life hast thou stamped upon our souls.